Hour number three of Willie and D. Mace here on 102.5 The Game. We are watching live coverage of the men's team gymnastics. And it's so interesting. We've been doing our show, and there's no sound on our thing. So we're trying to figure out what all this means. But we're watching these guys just go nuts, and their parents, they're nailing these routines. They're in a battle.
Oh, yeah, 14-8.
I don't know what this means for.
They're in the green, though, so that's a really good score heat. Which means it's a green arrow. That means you're
green arrow up. We think that's a good sign.
That's a good sign.
We have
damn good
clue
sign.
What's going on, but we're watching the reaction of everybody. But it looks like they got a good chance to medal. We'll see if we can give you the final. Or maybe, you know, we don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
But it's exciting.
Exactly.
It's exciting.
Very exciting.
And I'm sure they'll clip this and edit it, and it'll be part of the primetime coverage. Mm-hmm. If you want to, like, just not hearing, you could be like going like la 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 la, I can't hear you. So don't want to spoil it.
Yeah,
but it will be fun to see what happens here to the men's team. The women's team will go for it tomorrow. That's always exciting. They're a big favorite. That's a little different. The men are not the favorite to win the team competition, so the fact that they're right in the hunt is a good sign. All right, let's get back to what's going on with the Titans. They'll be in pads for the first time tomorrow. So back-to-back days, Tuesday, Wednesday, big days of practice. Mm-hmm. Teron Davenport is with us for his weekly trip on the show. So, Teron, looking forward to the next couple of days. It should tell us a few things, but as they've laid the groundwork, what are the biggest things that you found out about this team since they started practice?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing is how open this right tackle competition is. We talked to Bill Callahan today, and he said that, you know, they're experimenting with different things, rotating guys everywhere, giving everyone exposure to different, opportunities and lineups, and they're just going to continue to tinker with us. So that's a big thing that emerged. Another thing, honestly, Jamal Adams is actually more agile than I thought he was. Like, I'm not saying I will put him out there in coverage, but I don't think it's as dire of a situation as I thought it was coming into this camp. But that being said, again, he's still not somebody I want covering. If I'm a DC, you know, he's not someone I would want covering, you know, tight ends, running backs, and for sure not slot receivers. So still just he's more agile than I thought. That's another thing. So those are really the main things that popped out to me. I mean, obviously, you know, you look at J.C. Latham, tomorrow is going to be really good. Getting to see what he brings to the table, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
So if we look at the right tackle position, give me the candidates, or is it too early to even narrow it down to two or three at this point?
No. It's going to be John Ajukwu and Jalen Duncan for now, and Bill Callahan, I don't know if he slipped or what, but he did say that they are hoping to have Nicholas Petit-Ferrer back on Friday. So that'll be a huge boost to that, because now you're putting somebody else in the mix who has actually started games at that position, you know, for a stretch.
Now, TD, are you concerned about Awuzie? Because I'm looking at the secondary, and, you know, the Titans have been notorious for soft tissue injuries last few seasons. And you have a corner that you just brought in here paying top dollar to that you expect to be a part of a revamped and, you know, better secondary than it was last year, but then he's one of these guys that is dealing with a soft tissue injury, and it was after the first day of practice, and he's going to be out what it seems a couple of weeks. Are you concerned about this at all?
I think there should be some concern, just because it is, you know, those types of injuries, is a calf, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's what it is. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that's something that you guys know from playing sports, man, those types of things. It has a way of reappearing when you think everything is all good. Like, you work your way and you're like, okay, cool, I finally got it. Then you go out there and you know what I mean? It's right back to where it was before you started the rehab. So I would be concerned, yes, very much so. And then also you look at the position, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be so twitchy, you know, and a lot of your gas, you know, your twitch, it comes from your calves. You know, you're right there on your legs.
Now, which guy, because Awuzie has been out and he will be out at least for the next week, let's just say that, which guys you feel has taken advantage of that in the secondary?
Yeah, man. I tell you what, I always joke and say, you know, if an apocalypse came, put me somewhere with Mason Kinsey and Nicholas or Nick Westbrook and Kenny, I'm going with Trey Avery too, mm-hmm. because he came up, he got the, albeit falling down, it was an underthrow. He got the interception on Saturday, but he's been taking advantage of those reps, you know, stepped right in and has done what he needs to do. And don't forget about Gabe Judy-Lally, man. We're going to continue to mention him, right? You look at Thursday's practice, it ended, you know, with him breaking a back shoulder throw up to DeAndre Hopkins. He broke that up. So, yeah, I mean, those two, I think, will be the biggest standouts.
Now, did you see a different type of energy in the stadium that you didn't see, you know, in last week's practice? Now, the first day is always going to be energetic, the first time you step on the grass, but was it a noticeable difference offensively and defensively, how the guys, you know, moved around, how they competed against one another? Was it a noticeable difference?
Yeah, honestly, I wasn't there. I snuck to Alexandria, Virginia, one of my teammates, my fellow receivers from college. He got married, and you know, he has an agency, McCray Sports, that represents football players. So I'm like, you gotta know better than have a wedding in late July.
But, exactly. You know,
since it's somebody that, you know, is a very close friend of mine, I you know, took one for the Davenport ESPN team and went there. So I missed it.
Now, Treylon Burks, I'm sure you heard the interview or the quick snippet interview that Jim Wyatt did with him.
Yeah.
Listening to that, what did you come away with? I can tell you what I came away with after you tell me, but what did you come away with?
You know, I was thinking more on the I'm trying to figure out what drives him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out, like, what is it going to take for him to get legitimately, like, pissed off? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the main thing. And I know it was off. That's off topic of the interview itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I can't look at Treylon and not say to myself, like, what's going to make him, like, get to that point where it's like, that's all I can stand and I can't stand no more. You know, that's what I'm wondering.
Papa.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I came away from that was I see a guy that has some major, you know, events that have happened in his life within the last year. Him getting
right.
married, him not having a child, and now he looks at it, or he sort of approaches it a different way. I think now you see a calmness, a peace in him. That's the way I sort of looked at that interview,
yeah.
just watching him as a peace.
Yeah.
And he understands that it's about proving himself right, that he can play in this league and he can play at a high level. Because, you know, you've been around players where the coaches get on them so much, they start to doubt whether they can play in this league or not.
Yeah.
I think it seems like to me he's got that look of, okay, I can play in this league. I just need to show them that I can, because I know I can play in this league and I'm going to go out and do it. That's what I kind of took away from that interview.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And the thing that's interesting with him, he's always been that way, and you could tell he's always had that confidence. But it's good to hear him say it, you know, and that's something I didn't even think about, you know, when watching that interview. So I'm glad you pointed that one out. And it's, for me, the thing has always been, like, I want that alpha to come out. Like, I was listening to you earlier talk. I don't remember what you were saying, but I turned to my daughter and I'm like, you see, that's how you speak about something passionately. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I'm waiting for that aggressor to come out. I think that's really the main thing.
That's an interesting blend, mm-hmm. of that eye of the tiger, that aggression, that determination, that passion, mixed with the even-keeled mindset, the confidence, the inner confidence. Like, we can all think of athletes that are both,
mm-hmm.
right? The icy,
right.
cool guy that never seems to show any emotion and the guy that always is emotional. Both could be effective, but it's really a blend of the two, a balance of the two that could be really important.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think, you know, there's good examples. I mean, that's one of the things about Kobe that always stood out is, like, He was very aggressive, but never emotional, except for, you know, when he won that second trophy, you know. And I think having that, that's what makes people great, you know, being able to unleash those emotions in a way that is productive and, you know, to refocus it onto success on the court, field, wherever it may be.
We're talking to Teron Davenport. Titans' first day in practice tomorrow with pads on during training camp. Teron, you can read his coverage on ESPN.com. Talking with TD, the podcast. You hear him all across our station here on 102.5 The Game. Teron, you had a chance to chat with a couple of other assistants today. Any other tidbits that were notable today on a day that didn't do a whole lot on the field?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Bill Callahan, he said that Petit Ferrer, they're hoping he's back on Friday. You have that. I think you look at Ty Tolbert. One of the things that I like that he talked about was how much Tyler Boyd helps them in the receiver room. He was like, heck, he even teaches me, you know, at times. And he said that they watch a lot of Bengals tape, but also watch Broncos tape. So that was another running through some of the guys. Tracy Rocker, I thought he made some good points. And there's something I have been talking about in that, you know, you can't duplicate even practice, like the energy and the stamina in practice. You can't duplicate that, right? And he reminded everyone of that when I asked him about Tavondre Sweat. And so it's just kind of double enforcement, because that's what I asked Brian Callahan about also. Just, hey, look, I know everybody, even the receivers, they're still working their way into football shape. How do you account for that when you're evaluating Tavondre Sweat? It's absolutely something that they're considering. But the thing is, he said that he likes the fact that he doesn't have to push him. Tavondre wants to do the stuff himself.
That's great. There was a picture that circulated over the weekend of Tavondre Sweat standing next to Jeffrey Simmons. And I'm like, was this doctored or something? But the point was, and it got all kinds of circulation, how big this guy is. He makes Jeffrey Simmons look a little more normal size. That's pretty telling.
Yeah, he's a mountain. He's a mountain, and that's something I saw early. I kind of had the Senior Bowl. You know, I toyed with him. Like, I stood behind him, and I wanted to see if one of my homies could see me. I was engulfed standing behind him. Like, you wouldn't have known that
eclipse.
I was on the planet. Yeah, it was full eclipse. Yes, sir. TD eclipse.
Hey, speaking of defensive linemen, TD, the news comes out, DeNico Autry suspended for 6 games for performance-enhancing drugs. And looking back on it, you know, that was a decision. And obviously, I don't think the Titans weighed that particular thing. But when a guy is 34, the decision for the Texans to spend the money they did on him for 2 years, there had to be some risk involved, because a guy can just fall off a cliff production-wise when you hit a certain age. But I guess it's kind of like, in hindsight, like, whew, glad we didn't invest in him to stay as a Titan, even though he had a great year last year.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where, you know, they avoided what could have been a little pitfall for them. And, you know, I think it is important that we do recognize, you know, guys take these supplements and things like that, because this isn't the first time I've seen this type of situation where, you know, they say they took a supplement and it was in
every guy says it.
Factory that had traces of it, you know, of whatever it is. You got to remember, you know, when you're doing these, there's no regulation. The FDA does not regulate supplements. So these companies, whatever they may be, they're not mandated to put everything that is in whatever you're taking on the label. So you're putting yourself at risk. So to me, like, if I were in that situation, my supplement, like, I got cramping, hey, I'm going to eat bananas. Like, you know what I mean? I'm going to be on the Dr. Simi routine. Like, I'm from the earth. You know, I'm not going to go with anything from, you know, factory or anything like that. So to me, you put yourself up to that by taking these supplements. That's really the way I feel about it.
Yeah, anytime you purchase something out of a store, whatever store it is, you're taking a chance on it being contaminated somehow, some way. So you just got to be careful. And as you get older, you're just trying to do as much as you can to try to stay at that level. I'm not saying that you're doing anything illegal, but you're trying to take all these supplements that you think is legal, and you end up taking something that's tainted, then you end up getting busted, and you're trying to figure out, like, man, what did I take that caused me to be on the list? So I get it, but it's just unfortunate for Danico Autry that he has to miss the first six games. But, hey, listen, we got to play the Texans early, so – hey, Danico, like you, but I'm glad you're not playing. You know, at least if the Titans play you in the first six games.
I think they have. Don't they have them twice in the back end of the schedule?
It might be the back end of the schedule. You might be right. So they, you know, him missing the first six games may not mean too much in regards to the Titans. Then again, it could. But looking at the rookies, TD, obviously a lot of the attention has been paid to J.C. Latham and then Big Sweat. But what other rookies, whether it be free agent rookies or guys that they drafted, that have shown some flashes?
Yeah, I think, you know, it goes back to, and I hate to be so repetitive, but it gave Jeudy Lawley. I just love the fact that this is a guy who is finally, you know, and what he said, is finally in a scheme that accents and allows him to do what he does best, and that's get hands on people, you know. He likes to have those conversations at the line of scrimmage, and he's able to do that. So I think he would be a guy. But as far as ones that I'm watching, you know, keep an eye. They call him DMR. That's David Martin Robinson. He's a Temple product. He wore single digits at Temple. And for those who don't know, if you wear single digits at Temple over there on North Broad, you know, back in the home team, if you wear single digits, that means you're the truth. And he was really good. So watch out for that tight end as well.
Hmm. Teron, great stuff. Just for the record, Teron was right. Both of the games between the Texans and the Titans are later in the season. So in theory, Danico will be eligible at that point.
Man.
And he'll probably have a chip on his shoulder.
Exactly.
Fresh legs.
Dang it.
But TD, great stuff.
Latham was getting a break.
Nope. Well, hopefully J.C. Latham can, you know, stand up tall and Danico
hang with the old
exactly.
Man.
Danico won't be a factor.
All right, that's a young fella going against that grown man strength. You know, hey, listen, let's see what happens.
I don't think it could be said enough that J.C. Latham will not turn 22 until after the season when there are 23, 24-year-old college players. Like, that's enormous, that difference. Think about if you have a kid and they play youth sports, and you have a 9-year-old team, and you're playing against 11-year-olds. It's not going to go well for the 9-year-olds. And I don't care if you're all world; it's not going to be easy. But and so it's a little less as you get older. I understand that, but there's a difference between being 21 and 24.
Right, and we're talking about 21 and 34. So that's what I'm saying. That grown man strength, you know.
Yeah,
it's going to be something.
But I'm excited. But at the same time, I'm super excited to see what Latham and Skoronski's only 22, by the way. I'm excited what those guys look like when they're 25.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely.
Like, they're going to be really good and experienced and still be 25. That's exciting if they can play, which I think they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree for sure. Run left. That's the saying, right?
Run left. All right, TD, we'll see you on the field tomorrow morning.
All right, for sure. See you guys.
All right, Teron Davenport, ESPN, talking with TD, the podcast. We'll step away for a moment, come back, and we will continue the show here on 102.5 The Game. We want to hear from you, 615-737-1025. Titans in pads tomorrow for the first time. What are we expecting? Stay tuned. We're coming back.